Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi.
We're mass communicating.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
This is the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.
I gave it a 10.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that.
And now, here are your hosts, Rocky LaFleur.
Everybody on? Good.
Great. Grand. Wonderful.
No yelling on the bus.
Josh Webb.
Sorry I had a fight familiar, but I'm party.
And Jake Latondras.
And bad news.
Also starring Rob Kroon.
I bet this guy's into the woods $100.
And Bradley Ramsey.
No, Mark, didn't say it.
Showtime.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Showtime, everybody! Showtime!
Welcome to the End of the Line podcast. I'm Rocky LaFleur, sitting in the Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi. We're back to the regularly scheduled programming this week. No holidays in here, Kroon. Is that okay with you?
No, we got to stay after them.
No New Year's
we got the actual day.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those odd years where holidays fall on at the first of the week. Which, would you rather have it at the first of the week or the end of the week?
You know, I've never even thought about it, Rocky. To be honest, I don't care. It's the same to me no matter what. We've been through it. You know, I put the tree up, I put the tree down, take the tree down every year. It doesn't matter what day it is, and then I'm gone. So, I think I went to bed New Year's Eve at like 8:30 maybe.
So you had to catch up from hunting how many days in a row on Christmas Eve?
Several.
If you give me a preference, I want it on the front end. I want Christmas and New Year's to fall on the front end because mentally, I think people are happier, you know, even if they have to work going toward the end of the week because they know the weekend's coming.
Yeah, and I saw a stat the other day, actually on the Weather Channel, although I hate the Weather Channel, but it was the only weather we could get where we were besides our phone. And they said that in Little Rock, there's been 6 days of sunshine since December the 1st. So everybody's depressed. Everybody's pissed off. You know, duck season is what it is. And, you know, that's where we are. 6 days.
I'll tell you this, the first day that it shined here was on Saturday.
It was Saturday.
It just felt better with the sun out. Blue sky, it just does. When you stay cloudy that long, I would agree with him, man. You just get just depressed.
Yeah, and the best part about that was, they still gave it to us right in the keister because it was foggy. We were hunting the woods. It was foggy until 10 o'clock. And we got to be out of the woods at 12. So, you know, we get 2 hours. It sounded like a freaking war. It sounded like the Civil War down there from 10 to 12. And, you know, so they got us again. This is all relative to the AGFC stuff and the flap. It all correlates to the same thing. See, the flat deal, they knew that people were going to be hunting the fields because of AGFC. And so that had that going on. And then the AGFC just completely jinxed us all together. I bet they sell 4 permits next year.
So you think that they've been helping with the weather too? They've been seeding the clouds to keep it cloudy and rainy?
Yeah, absolutely. And even if they haven't, they've been praying for it, or Allah, or whoever they look for help from, and it's worked.
This is the perfect year for the flap. You know what?
It's perfect. That's what I mean. Because you need the flap to get on your four-wheeler and your, you know, getting your layouts and all that. It's at first I thought it was a horrible idea. It was kind of silly. But now it's genius. It's the smartest thing they've ever done. They completely made the flap flappable.
In all your travels going through Arkansas, have you seen anybody with the flap down?
I haven't seen anybody flap down yet, but I don't hunt with a lot of people that flap it. But I guarantee you Spencer has flapped it on multiple occasions. And I mean, seriously, like, I thought it was the worst idea ever. And now I'm backtracking. You know, I don't think there's time. I don't think there's any way. I think the ship has sailed on me being a Drake pro staffer, you know, for me to get the flap. But, hey, it was genius. I owe him an apology. I may send him a letter today on some stationery.
So do you think Sitka possibly, with all this, you think that they may add a flap to their stuff next year?
Absolutely not. Sitka doesn't need a flap because their stuff doesn't leak. So, I mean, Sitka's the best gear that's ever been made for duck hunting, period, and deer hunting, but I don't deer hunt. It's the best stuff ever made. I mean, I was in a monsoon the other day and was laughing. I was like Lieutenant Dan. I was like, bring it on. See, I don't get all tore up. I mean, you got to go and deal with what you're dealt. I mean, yeah, it's cloudy. So what? The ducks are still going to hit the woods. It may not be as pretty. They may not do it as good. You just got to go. So, I mean, I had my sick on the other day. I swear it was raining so hard. And everybody was like, oh, my God, I'm soaked. I was like, not me.
What are we calling it? Can't Kill Them on the Couch Tour 2018-2019?
That's right. Can't Kill Them on the Couch. Can't Kill Them on the Couch Tour 18-19. It's in full force, man. Full force.
Hey, I'm going to throw a curveball to you today. Something that's been on my mind lately. But first, you did go out for a third party with Scout this weekend, right?
Yes. Me and Brandon from Granada Lake Crappie Guides got together. We've been kind of talking back and forth, trying to, you know, figure out where the ducks were and kind of talking to each other about that stuff. And he called me the other night. He's like, man, the Scout deal's got me tore up. Do you want to go help search? And I said, yeah, I do. And as a matter of fact, I think we may be the most popular guys there. What were we going to do? What we did was we got some tents and some s'mores and hot dogs, and we went and camped out. But the secret weapon was, a few years ago when the drones got real popular, you know, when they got where they didn't cost $90,000 a piece, I bought one that has a thermal scanner and a metal detector for cripples and for bands. Because I have a theory that people lose probably a band a year on cripples, you know, when they dive or whatever. So I got this drone with the thermal scanner and the metal detector, and I said, look, if Scout's microchipped and it has any metal at all, we're going to find it. And on top of that, the thermal scanner, there's no telling what we're going to find, and if we don't find him, we'll just shoot hogs all night. So it was basically like the 3-for-1.
So, did you play a part in coming up with the name Scouters? Is that what y'all were called, looking for them on Saturday, Scouters?
I think Luke Young did that. That's the best term I've ever heard. And no, I didn't, but I may have to start mentioning that on the migration reports.
Scouters. It's pretty catchy. I don't know how you would come up with that from all that, Scouters.
I think they should change it a little bit, though, the people that's running the page. I think they should say, we're Scouters, not Sour. Talking about all the people that think Scout's gone, and gone to doggy heaven.
Well, here's my whole deal with the Scout deal. I'm kind of like Luke, and I think that he posted this. Is you think that dog is still in a 3-mile area right there? Look, I've lost dogs, and they've showed up before 20-30 miles away, seriously. But that's the area that you quarantined off to search for this dog?
Here's
what
I think
for a month.
Here's what I think happened, Rocky. I think somebody, some dad out there, just completely dropped the ball on Christmas, okay? He knew he was screwed. He didn't know what to do. Lo and behold, there's a nice-looking boykin on the side of the road. He scooped Scout out. They're now calling him Freddy, and he's down there with that family, and those kids love that dog. And he's eating every day. He's frolicking around. He doesn't have to duck hunt anymore in the cold. They keep him inside. He's just, you know, he's got it going on now.
That is actually a great theory, because it's one that I've said. You know,
somebody got Scout and gave him the
Can you imagine surprising, you know, your two or three kids with Scout on Christmas morning?
He totally saved Christmas. Whoever it is, good job, buddy. Way to go. Now, you know, for the people that lost him, I'm sorry. But look at it this way. At least now he's in a happy home.
That is, I agree with you on that. And here's the problem with that. I think that the guy would have returned him if the reward wouldn't have been awarded to somebody that hadn't even found the dog.
Right. Yeah, and you know, to save Christmas and save your rear end that well, it's worth $5,000. I mean, that's a priceless gift. And, you know, his kids probably wanted a dog, and he was like, no, we're not getting a dog, blah, blah. Next thing you know, Scout's riding in the front of the truck. He pulls up at home on Christmas Eve. Scout jumps out. Everybody's happy. He probably got lucky that night. And she was probably like, where did you get Scout? Oh, they were going to put him down. He was in a shelter. I saved his life.
Oh, gosh. All right, so give me an update on the neighbors.
I haven't seen much of the neighbors. I've been out of town so much. I haven't seen them again, and I don't think Liz has seen them. I don't know. Maybe they moved.
Well,
I don't know. I know for sure they don't walk their dog down my road anymore. I'm pretty sure one of them is caught up on the podcast and realizes that I'm not taking any more crap.
Oh, all right. Now, let me ask you this. I think that family holiday get-togethers, something's been on my mind lately. I think family holiday get-togethers will cease to exist within 20 to 30 years.
They should have already been gone. Nobody likes it. There's always a crazy person in your family, if not multiple, that nobody wants to see or be around. It makes it awkward. Your wife's pissed because she has to go to your deal. You're pissed because you have to go to her deal. And it's just, it makes everybody insane. And then you have the whole, well, did we get them enough on their gift? Or if we get them one, we have to get the other one. And what about their kids? Blah, blah. I'm like, look, man, I'm not spending $4,000 on people I don't even like. It's just crazy. And it's you know, Liz bought presents for people I don't even know.
I think that we're getting away from the generation of women like our mothers. I don't think that this is nothing. This is not a slight. It may come sound negative, what I'm about to say, but as far as the cooking, cleaning, and preparing for a holiday feast with all the family, I don't think the ladies that of today are prepared to take over those responsibilities, like, you know, years from now.
No, because then they would have to cook. Then they would have to cook 2 days a year. I mean, more look. That's not a slight either, but there's a lot of women and ladies that work outside of the house now, where 50 years ago, you know, you didn't have to do that.
Right.
They don't have time, you know, to be sitting there cooking all this crap. And yeah, you can go places and buy a casserole and go get some takeout or something and make it look like you made it. But it's still stuff you have to do. I know for a fact that with my kids and my schedule and Liz's schedule, there's no way in the world that she could possibly put on something like that. There's no way. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, our mother's generation, that generation, man, it's going to be rough when they're gone. Family reunions, holidays, all of them, they'll cease to exist.
We had the perfect Christmas as far as that goes. We got to see everybody. it was everybody's thing wasn't an 8-hour ordeal. We got everything going, got to see everybody. Everybody got gone, and it was perfect. It was the best one in a long time. But I know people that were like, man, I can't be over there till the 28th because I got to go to so-and-so's family Christmas, and they're having it after Christmas this year. And I'm like, dude, you got to work on that, man. And you know what? He's married to an 8. We're over there feet hanging and baking, slapping and strapping. You hear me, outfitters. And he's at the house playing Christmas with his in-laws. Getting like a shave kit for Christmas.
He's married to an 8.
Yep. SBYL. Sorry about your luck. Can I tell you real quick how my last 10 days have been duck hunting?
Yeah, please.
Well, aside from having to scout every 4 days, trying to find them and running and gunning, I put like 9,000 miles on my truck. The other day, I got in a hurry and was a little bit haste, and I jack-knocked my trailer and knocked the taillight out on my truck. And you might think, like, taillight, you know, how much could it be, $100?
Okay.
$700. And then yesterday, I was leaving camp, and one of my buddies had left his boat trailer beside my truck, and I couldn't see it. And I backed up and completely scratched the whole side in front of my truck with his boat trailer.
Oh, man.
So that's how the last 10 days have been. I've got a run of good luck going. I figured something's fixing to really change for the better.
No, I don't see it in the forecast as far as ducks go. Jeez. I mean, it's a little cool weather on the way, but I'm going to tell you something, Groom. I'm already looking toward turkey season.
Turkeys are going to get real. I'm excited. I'm ready to get the cameras out, get a little sauce out, and get ready to get on them. Because you know Godzilla made 3 or 4 baby Godzillas.
That's what I was just about to say. There's got to be at least 6 to 8 Godzillas running around, juniors.
Yeah, I saw some the other day coming back crossing at Lulu. I looked out in the field, and there was some over there grazing, and I was like, oh, boy. It was one of those days where it got up to, like, 60, you know, and they're out there just like, oh, this is cool. Hey, the turkeys don't even know it's not spring yet. It's so hot.
Yay or nay? I think we need to go kill 55. When do we just need to get them off the road?
I think we need to shoot him any way possible. And we got to, and Criswell's got to do it. And he's got to be, I mean, you tell me he's not going to mount that joker the first time it dies?
Criswell swears up and down this is the year.
Oh, it's going to be. It's going to be. If we have to take the thermal metal detector drone, roost him, and then go shoot him out of the tree.
Oh, yeah, somebody made a post on Duck South last night about turkey hunting. I'm like, he's like, I'm sorry, I know this is a duck hunting page, but I wanted to ask the question about turkey hunting. I don't care. Please talk about turkey hunting.
Yeah, please. It would be a nice change.
Wow. As far back as I can remember, I don't know, maybe the 15 season? 15 season is probably the roughest that I'd seen before this year. I guess it was the 15-16. Yeah, the 15-16 season. You don't remember it being this off, do you?
I remember back in 2000 and 2002 it being... Yeah, 2000 was right after. We had a El Nino and La Nina in 97 and 98, I think. And then exactly. 99 was a really good year because everybody was using the RoboDuck. And then the 2000 year, it was really mild and really wet again, which was, you know, you usually don't get three or four years in a row where it was wet. But it was really wet, and I was guiding in eastern Arkansas kind of between right around Highway 64 there. And generally, that's one of – anyway –
we had a horrible season guiding, and it made me want to quit turkey hunting and take up some sort of, it made me want to take up, you know, bowling or horseshoes or something that was better than what we had going on over there. And we had the spots. It just was that bad. And then the next year I got it again, and it was a little bit better, but it was pretty tough. And then 2002, I took a year off from guiding because I thought I was going to kill someone. And the ducks showed up, but they were all west of Arkansas and Mississippi and Tennessee. They were all flying at Texas and Oklahoma. You know, this before everybody knew that Oklahoma was a hotbed. You know, this is back, nobody was hunting there. All people did was deer hunt. I don't think they sold decoys in their sporting goods stores. But, you know, they shifted over there. My buddy over there in Texas, he kept telling me, he's like, dude, we got more ducks than we've ever had. We're killing the crap out of them. Come over here and hunt. You know, they're going up to Oklahoma and shooting them. And I was like, man, they got to show up any day now. And in 02, they never showed up. It was just 02, in my opinion, is this year made over. And I really do think that. The only difference is in 02, we actually had some fronts, but they just never came on our side of the flyway. And it was rough. It was bad, 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 bad for me. Now, it might have been better for some people, but it's hard for me to believe it was anywhere in East Arkansas, Mississippi, and Tennessee, Western Kentucky. But, you know, after that, we had a really good run. You know, 03 to whenever, you know, last year, especially in 2010-11, people started leasing everything. If you were a farmer and you could rent a piece of ground and put water on it, you had it leased. I mean, it was hot. People were killing ducks where they shouldn't have been killing them. And so I think that's where we've gotten with the kind of the what people call the bust or what people are upset about. But we were due one of these years. It's not that, you know, it's just the way it is. You know, I've got my pecan flats are flooded. You know, luckily when me and Brandon went to scouting for scout, we had both of us canceled our people because it's just been that bad, you know, and we needed a couple of days off. But, you know, it's just one of those years. It's bound to happen. I mean, you're not going to kill them every year. And don't blame it on the hatch. Don't blame it on DU. Don't blame it on the heat ponds, whatever. It's not like guys in northern Missouri have been killing them. It's not like guys, you know, if you follow it enough and have enough friends in different states and areas, you realize that it's just not the year. And it may turn on. It may get good for a couple of weeks and make everybody kind of happy and get over and forget the fact that it sucked so bad from opening until now. But it's not the end of the world. We were due. It's not like, you know, it's just the way it went.
Everybody I talk to is at least 50% off.
Yeah, I'm probably 50 to 70, somewhere around there. And I've talked to a bunch of folks too in places that are, you know, really, really, really regarded, well-regarded places that are just not doing it. And the thing is that what a lot of guys don't understand is that when you have a good spot, if you have a good spot, I'm going to say good. I could say average, but I'm going to say you have a good spot. And you kill 200 or 300 ducks a year, that's a good little spot to have. Especially if you have other spots where you can do the same thing. But these guys that have 200 or 300 duck spots that killed 400 last year because they were on the Mississippi or Tennessee side of the, you know, of the region, they don't understand and they don't remember that it's really a 200 duck spot. You know, you go and kill 8 or 9 ducks a day, you know, that's good. You know, don't let these people say that they're killing 1,500 a year, 2,000 a year out of one blind and one spot because it's unrealistic. And, you know, you get a spot, you get 4 or 5 spots to kill 200 or 300 a year. Next thing you know, you're killing 700 or 800 a year, you know, and that's really, really, really good. And people don't understand that. These people inflate these numbers and these booger eaters throw out that they're killing, you know, 1,500, 1,700 a year in the same blind and all this stuff. It's just not true. I don't care what you say. You can send me a private message and explain to me how that you've got the mother holy holes of holes. And, you know, you're down this year, but you're at 950. Get the hell out of here. So, it's just one of those things, and people, I don't think people realize that. I think people get caught up in this numbers game where, you know, if they don't have log picks by 717 and, you know, all this stuff, then the duck season's horrible. I mean, you're going to go and kill 8 or 9 a day, and you need to realize that that's, you know, you're doing pretty good.
Before you started gadding on your own, when you worked for somebody else, best and worst guide story ever that happened to you.
All right, well, I'm going to start with the worst. I was dating this girl from Kentucky. Her dad was, like, way up in Brown Liquors, I think, which they own, like, Makers and Jack and a couple of – anyway, way up. And he had told us – this was – I think I was a junior at Ole Miss. And he told us that if we wanted to go, he had tickets to the Playboy Super Bowl party in New Orleans and that we could go. And so I was like, hell yeah, this is going to be awesome. Well, we had some guys from Fort Smith come in like middle of December, okay? And they were policemen in Fort Smith. And me and my buddy that guided there, when we started working there, the guy was like, I'm going to buy y'all's beer, you know, for y'all guiding, and his wife was expecting a baby, so he didn't go a whole lot, and you know, we just kind of did what we could do. And he, anyway, by the second week of season, he was like, nope, no more beer, you got to buy your own beer. But anyway, so the guys from Fort Smith come in, and we had had a few drinks that night, maybe I don't want to put a number on it, several beers. And they said, well, how much money would it take to shave your head? And I was like, shave it? Bald? And they were like, no, we'll let you use whatever that smallest guard is. I don't shave my head, obviously. But it was like the smallest guard to give me like a really tight crew cut. And I was like, man, I was in college. You know, I was like, I'll tell you what. If y'all four guys put in $100, we'll do it. And there was $400 bills on the table before you could say Jack. And all of a sudden, my perfect frat locks were gone. My frat cut and my frat swoop were gone. So they buzzed me. So I was like freaked out. And like, I mean, I'm a good looking guy, but with no hair, I look like a psychopath. So anyway, I told her, I was like, I don't know that I can go. And that was one of the biggest mistakes I ever made. But anyway, I didn't go, and I looked like a creeper until my hair grew back. And, So that was actually pretty funny. So I don't know that that was the worst, but we had some guys from New York come in, and they were like, we're hunting the woods, everything's good. And we had one wood spot that was, you know, really, really good. It had been horrible. And we went to another wood spot on a smaller river nearby. And we got there. I'll never forget this for my rest of my life. They wanted to get there early. So we got there at 5:30, which was like an hour and 10 minutes before shooting time. And we set up. We're in the woods. It's a dense fog advisory, okay? You can't see 10 feet in front of you. If you turn the light on a boat, it was just, you know, it would blind you. So you just had to go like no light and just hope for the best. So we bang off the trees and bump and get in there. We get them in there at 5:30 like they wanted. And we're sitting there, and me and my buddy, we were hiding boats and getting stuff ready, you know, just doing what you got to do. And they're standing in the hole, kicking water and stuff. I'm like, what in the hell? So anyway, so we get there, and we finally get set up. I'm sweating, you know, I got sweat pouring off of me. It's 35 degrees. Then I start getting hypothermia. And the head dude, which is the biggest asshole I've ever met in my life, he goes, hey, guys, mind if we get a few feeding chuckles to get the day going? And I was like, dude, it's an hour before shooting time. And so we're sitting there like, we're sitting there doing feed calls and stuff in the bottoms at 5:45. And I'm like, I told Ben, I said, I'm not doing it. I'm done. I said, he'll just have to get mad. So I just quit and sat out on a log and tried to take a nap. And he stayed on us bad. So that afternoon, see, we did a deal where you could go morning and afternoon if you didn't get your limit. Well, he wanted to go in the afternoon, so me and Ben played paper, rock, scissors, and he drew the pill, so he had to take him. And after that, our relationship changed. That was by far the worst. We ended up finding some snow geese and snuck on them and killed them, and it wasn't many. We killed like 15 or 20. But those guys really liked that, so that saved us a little bit.
But the most fun thing we did is I took Red Dog hunting one time. They were thinking about filming there, which is hilarious if you think about it, because we killed like 40 doves. But we had a really good hole and everything, and they were going to film there. But they sent WE over to check it out and see if it was worth filming and, you know, just to kind of fill it out. And that was the most fun of that year, was seeing how good those guys shot. And people make fun of them and stuff and say, oh, they're Duck Dynasty hunters. Those dudes right there, they are OG killers. And if you think for 1 second that they did anything to mess up duck hunting, you're a blithering idiot. And you need to go back to the Snowflake Museum and put your face on the door of the entrance.
I'm not going to try to top those, but what made you... What made you decide, hey, I want to do this on my own?
Just because I had so many people that were interested and that, you know, didn't have anywhere to go or were trying to hunt public land and not killing any and getting frustrated with that whole deal. And I just thought, you know, if I can get some good guys in here, you know, and I could book them myself. I mean, you know, you can fill some guys out pretty well and be like, oh, yeah, well, I'm booked that weekend. Sorry, pal. You know, when you're doing it on your own, you don't have to take everybody. You can pick and choose and take return customers that are good, you know, and that are fun. And once you start getting the return guys that have been fun, it starts making it a lot better. The first year when you have to take whoever, that is miserable. But if you can make it through that and then chop down the guys that were horrible and that didn't tip and that thought they were entitled to kill 50 or whatever, you cut them out and get the cool guys, and that's when it starts getting better.
Hey, I'll leave you on this note. So, Christmas at our house, I was proud to see that Santa Claus left one of the old Nintendos. I guess it's a new, it's got like 50 games on it for our kids. It's got Tecmo Bowl and Super Mario Brothers and Excitebike, Mike Tyson's Punch Out, blah, blah, blah on it. I was excited to see that on the Christmas tree.
That's a gift for everyone.
You know, I played it once since they got it for Christmas, and I remember it being a lot more exciting back 30 years ago, 40 years ago.
Well, yeah. I mean, now they got these games where people wear headphones and stay up all night on Monster Energy drinks and play people from all over the world. And they're like, yeah, I'm at level 42.
I'm going to say this. The first time I played Super Mario Brothers, I did rescue the princess. I still had it in me.
Well, I mean, that's great. I mean, there's nothing better than those first games. I mean, they're good now. And NCAA football back 98, 97, that to me is the best game ever created. And you could get in full-fledged fist fights with your buddies over that.
Tecmo Bowl, you know, man. I remember Tecmo Bowl being exciting. Yep.
It was, but you didn't have near the plays on Tecmo Bowl, and if you gave it to Bo Jackson or threw it to Jerry Rice, I mean, there wasn't a defense for that.
Hey, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this before I let you go. I'm like you. As a kid, I spent most of my time outside. My dad he wasn't too happy if he caught me playing video games. He said there's a lot more productive things to be done outside. But I do remember this. And do you remember how to get Infinity Men on Super Mario?
No, I never remember that trick. No, I don't remember that one on Super Mario. Of course, I remember the Contra cheat code. But Mario, I pretty much, you know, it took me like, I don't know, 6 months, and I finally beat it. So I really didn't care after that.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. All right, if you're listening to this podcast, if you remember how to get Infinity Men on Super Mario, I'm not going to give it away. Post it in the comments. See if anybody remembers how to do that. The Infinity Men on Super Mario.
Yeah.
All right. Mr.
What a great time to be alive.
All right, what day are you coming back to Mississippi? Or are y'all
Wednesday?
Wednesday. Different area, same area where you guys are going to be looking?
I got two guys over there right now scouting. They're going to hunt this morning and scout. And then it looks like the sun like, they screwed up the freaking forecast. I would have hunted today and tomorrow if I had seen the weather, and they were showing it, like, crappy. And then now it looks like it's going to be sunny Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So I've completely got all whacked out. So I'm going to go probably tomorrow night and get back over there. I've got some stuff I got to do at home. I mean, you know how it is. But, yeah, I'm going to be back over there Wednesday, and I don't know, man. You got to stay off the couch. You got to put that Nintendo down, quit playing Call of Duty or whatever you're playing.
So you're going to be inside in Mississippi on Wednesday, and then you'll be back over in Arkansas Thursday?
Yes.
Wish you all the best on the search for Scout.
Man, I appreciate it. We got everything lined up. We're going to do all we can do. If I find him at some guy's house in Brandon, Mississippi, then I'm not saying a word because his kids would be devastated.
Do you ever escape the guilt if you did get caught stealing that dog from your kids or the people? I don't think you ever get away from it.
You couldn't, but they'd have to prove it. They'd have to prove it, and somebody would go to jail. Because
go ahead, finish it out.
I'm just gonna say when something like that happens, you gotta take that with you. You can't go out easy. You can't be like, oh yeah, I found him on the side of 302 there by sledge. You don't do that. You just gotta take it, go all the way.
All right, Mr. Groom, I enjoyed it. It's good to be back together on Monday. But I hope you have a good rest of the week. And want to thank all of you that listened to this edition of the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.